What a pleasure it is to welcome the keynote speaker at today's Detroit Economic Club, United States Senator, the Democrat from Michigan, Elissa Slotkin. Senator Slotkin, it truly is a pleasure to have you on board here.
Thank you for having me.
Saw you up at Mackinac at the Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference just to wave and say hello. That was a great event, wasn't it?
It was great.
Arne Tellem is here, and we'll be talking with Arne in just a little bit. But a couple of quick things here. There's a lot going on, and you have, generally speaking, walked the normal line, if that makes any sense. You have appeared to be normal. I've already told you what I didn't like and what, you know.
You did.
Whatever happens, happens. But generally speaking, I certainly embrace your intelligence and the understanding that you are fighting for America and what you think is right.
I mean, look, I've served this country in ways, in different ways before I became an elected official, but I feel very firmly right now that I am protecting and defending the country that I love and the people who are struggling in the country we love. So look, it's a mess in Washington. All I can do is call balls and strikes on behalf of Michiganders, both those who voted for me and certainly those who did not vote for me, both.
Given your background, which is incredible, what was your reaction when President Trump named Bill Pulte acting director of national intelligence? Now, our first reaction was, oh, gee, a guy from the Detroit area. Yeah. So, I mean, there's that positive spin. But on the other hand, there's not a lot of experience there, is there?
No, I had two reactions. As someone who actually worked and helped set up the Office of the Director of National Intelligence in 2005, you know, it's like the grand poobah on top of 17 different intelligence agencies. So it's a big job. We can't find that Bill Pulte ever had a security clearance and handled classified information. And now you're going to be the head poobah of all of the classified behind closed doors agencies. So I don't think he has any experience. And actually, per the law, you have to have national security experience to have this job permanently. That's in law.
That's in the law.
Yes, that was written after we had big intelligence failures with Iraq. This position was created, the Director of National Intelligence, and Susan Collins put in an amendment that said you must have national security experience to be nominated for this job. But the second piece of it, I think, is almost more important, which is when he's been doing housing work right now, and he has used that position to look up the mortgage information of people who are the perceived enemies of the president and launched bogus threats and cases against them. And I got a problem. If he's going to do that in the housing space, what's going to happen if he becomes the head of national intelligence? That's a lot of access to a lot of data, a lot of personal information, a lot of powerful tools.
You'll notice, though, Senator Elissa Slotkin with us here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR, that the president almost immediately backed off.
Yeah, he did.
On Bill. And we used to have Bill on our show all the time. He was a nice guy and all of that. Mm-hmm. But the president made it very clear very quickly two things. One, it was a temporary position for him. And number two, he really wants him to go in and be a hatchet man and fire a bunch of people and get that load off the next person who actually gets the job.
Yeah, he actually said, you know, that I want him in there because he'll cut people. But I also want him to look up what really happened in the 2020 election. I mean, he said it out of his mouth. It's not hearsay. And we know that he had the previous director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, going down to Georgia and doing that. I just don't think, I mean, I have seen how our men and women protect us from threats in the dark of night when no one's looking. That's what the director needs to be focused on, external threats, not conspiracy theories. If you need to cut people, I was in the federal government, but do it smart. Don't do it like a hatchet job so that you don't risk national security.
These are Americans. These are fellow Americans, most of which went to work for the government to do good things.
I mean,
so let's not treat them poorly. We may have to make cuts and changes,
right.
And we do.
Yeah.
We're bloated, there's no question, but there's a way to do it and a way not to do
for
it,
sure.
That's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about the 1776 or $1.8 billion basically weaponization fund or slush fund, or I don't know what you would call it, but how would somebody think that was going to go over in a positive way. Not even the Republicans like it.
No, and in fact, we had an all-night vote on Thursday night that blocked it with Democrat and Republican support. So he wanted to set up this $1.8 billion fund so that anyone who's been quote-unquote wronged or convicted incorrectly could seek compensation. But it's not an even-handed situation, right? It's a Trump puts five people in charge that are all, you know, dedicated to him. And what he said very openly was he wants a lot of the people who were convicted of violent crimes during the January 6th attacks to be able to seek compensation.
See, you know what? The average American seeing these people attack police officers and then maybe get paid for it,
I mean,
that's so unacceptable. It's distasteful. It's just wrong.
Well, as someone who literally barricaded herself in her office on January 6th and was looking for a weapon to defend myself, I will say the idea that someone who literally assaults, like with a taser, a police officer, you know, the guy forces him to have he has a heart attack and permanent brain damage, goes to jail, is convicted, and starts to serve his time. Trump pardons him and now wants him to get taxpayer dollars. I got a problem with that, particularly on assault of police officers.
One other distasteful topic, and I think I've heard you address this. I embraced what you said. If I'm remembering correctly right now, you'll remind me. The main Democrat for the United States Senate, you mentioned Susan Collins a moment ago, the guy that wants to unseat her. And a lot of Democrats still back this Graham Plattner. I thought I heard that you did not.
Well, I got I was live on television when the latest story broke of some sort of article about, you know, past girlfriends and that kind of thing. And before I even knew about it, I'm being asked about it on television. And I frankly just was like exhausted by being asked week after week, whether it's a Democrat or Republican.
I know what you're going to say. It's another man doing bad things.
It was like live on camera. And so I think they just saw my exhaustion with this topic. And, you know, like we had Eric Swalwell, the candidate for governor in Georgia. Yeah. In California. So it was a moment of weakness of just being like, can I not be constantly asked about this? We have bigger fish to fry in this country.
We do, but I did ask. So yeah. What do you think?
So that's why I literally have no special knowledge of these women coming forward. He certainly has been controversial for the entire time he's been running. I just hope that we actually get to focus on what matters to Mainers and not just constantly be dealing with allegations of bad behavior.
Your economic priorities.
My economic priority number one is literally the existential threat to the middle class in America. That is not just an economic priority. I think it is the biggest threat to the country right now, bigger than terrorism or China or anything else. And Michigan feels it acutely. It's gotten harder to get in and stay in the middle class. And if we do not deal with that problem, we are going to have deep instability, deep problems, neighbors turning on neighbors, because it has to be that the American dream works, where you can work hard 40 hours a week, play by the rules, you do well, and your kids get ahead. And if that doesn't work, the system is literally construed against the middle class. We got way bigger problems than any, you know, daily report coming out in the news. So that to me means housing, healthcare, energy, food. We got to make those things affordable, or else we are in deep doo-doo.
The Ilyssa Slotkin I've always known and loved, though we may disagree politically from time to time. I like it when you're clearly thinking and stating your stand, and we appreciate it. And we say in show business, break a leg with your keynote speak here at the Detroit Economic Club. United States Senator, the Democrat from Michigan, Ilyssa Slotkin. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, Paul.